Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Prabhupada. This is Prahlad Maharaj, carry on speaking to Lord Nrisingadev. And he says, by authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the cosmic manifestation is His energy. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades world, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both the cause and effect. Purport. As described in previous verses, many so-called students of spiritual understanding follow the 10 different methods known as Manavrata, Shruta Tapo, Dhyayana Svadharma, Vyaktya Raho Japa Samadaya. This may be very attractive, but by following such methods, one cannot actually understand the real cause and effect and the original cause of everything, janmadyasya yatya. The original source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, sarvakarana karanam. The original source of everything is Krishna, the Supreme Ruler, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha. He has His eternal spiritual form. Indeed, He is the root of everything, bijamam sarvabhutanam. Whatever manifestations exist, their causes is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This cannot be understood by so-called silence or by any other hodgepodge method. The Supreme Cause can be understood only by devotional service, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. What's that? Elsewhere, in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21, the Supreme Godhead personally says, Bhaktyam ekaya grayahi. One can understand the original cause of all causes, the Supreme Person, only by devotional service, not by show bottle exhibitionism. Oma jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuru militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padandikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangalam gayate giram yat kripa tamaham vande shri guru tinatarina. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the sky. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, a dumb man can speak eloquently. I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prista Bhutale Srimati Tamala Krishna Prasadini. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prista Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paskata Desatarine. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Nama Nama. A Again, Prahlad Maharaj says, by authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the cosmic manifestation is His energy. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades world, thus engaged in devotional service, understand how you are both the cause and effect. This is very clear statement from Prahlad Maharaj, how he understand how the cosmic manifestation works, who makes it working, who is behind it, and who is the door of everything that happens in this world, either directly or indirectly. And he understands here by the power of his devotional service that mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam, that the hand of Krishna is behind everything, even behind Maya. We can say relatively that Maya is independent from Krishna, but in reality it's not. Krishna knows every step that Maya is just about to take. Just like the owner of any enterprise, he knows how the modus operandi of the production of the factory is to be working. So he trains the manager accordingly. This is your job description. And the staff, this is your job description. So they are just doing what the manager and the staff, they're just doing what the owner has as a prescribed, as a duty. So it's nothing new. It's nothing from their own mental utopia. So similarly, Maya is just doing what Krishna is asking her to do. It's interesting that there is no independence, really. The only independence is when we become dependent on Krishna. Then he becomes overwhelmed by the unknown, beautiful phenomenon of devotion. Devotional service is unpredictable. You can actually surprise Krishna. Navayovanam is ever youthful, and is always he always knows what's about to happen in this world. But he doesn't know how much we can surprise him with devotional service. And it comes with the process of depending on Him. So we think we are entrapping ourselves by becoming dependent. But actually that's the way to freedom. Krishna says, you know, what is night for the sage, it's a daylight for a materialistic person. And what is daylight for a materialistic person, it's nighttime for a sage. And so therefore, what we call independence is actually entrapment. Everybody is trying to escape from the law of the Lord, the law of karma. Everybody loves the freedom. But the freedom in God consciousness comes when we when we actually depend 100% on His lotus feet. So the material world and the living entities, they're all acting in a very monotonous. The living entities, they are chewing the chewed, Prahlad Maharaj says. They're doing exactly the same thing that they've done for millions and billions of years. Practically speaking, all the activities, they condense down into eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And then there are a few activities that we perform by thinking, feeling, willing, doing, that they support, you know, the first activities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. The living entities, they think that they are actually independent, but the activities also, they are performed by the modes. They think they are thinking or feeling, but even the thinking and the feeling, it doesn't belong to the soul. The mind has nothing to do with the soul. When we go back home, back to Godhead, there is no subtle body, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Everything is left behind. There are subtle material elements. And therefore, the actor, the soul is not really acting in this world. That's why it's called the conditioned soul. Conditioned means it's laid by other elements to act, but it's not acting. It's a dormant, and the soul is carried away into the body through the agency of mind, intelligence, and false ego to perform. Actually, the soul is just witnessing in a very dormant state. And feels the pain, this discomfort of this material environment. Just like a fish, when it's put outside the water, it feels discomfort. You can see that it's very frantic and very unhappy. So, the living entities, when they start to, first of all, they have to try to understand, who am I, what is this material body, what is this material energy. The first steps of Sambandha Gyan, who is God, what is this material world, where is the spiritual world, what is my relationship with God. So we need a little practice of devotional service, like Prahlad Maharaj says here, even to understand the basic things that the Lord, it's behind everything. He makes everything moving. So we need this bhakti. There is no other way. Just like it is explained in the purport that one understands that the fire, it's actually existing into the element of wood. So similarly, the Lord is pervading into the element of this creation, is the cause and effect. Sarva karana karanam is the cause. He makes everything moving. An effect also is everything is moving according to His will. And therefore there are two mechanisms, two operandi, that one is material and one is a spiritual. So we can choose which one of the two we want to be pushed. We won't be empowered. And the pushings of this material environment, it's actually very uncomfortable for the living entities. Practically speaking, we feel discomfort at every moment, at every second. And that we can also say it's the cause and effect started by Krishna. Krishna is behind it. But of course he's not to be blamed. It's just an incentive, you know, for inviting the living entities to understand this is uncomfortable, so please go on the other side, which is a spiritual life. And the pushings of the spiritual life are much comfortable, more lucrative for the soul. That's what the soul wants. It's a more comfortable area, much more of a relief nature, much more peaceful and happy, natural. But it's very simplistic to explain these things. But one has to practice a little bit of devotional service to understand the difference between these two environments. Otherwise, it's not possible. Just by reading books, the Vedas, Vedeshu Gyanesh, what is it? Vedeshu Durlabham, Adurlabham, Atma Bhakto, Govinda Mahadipurusham, Tamaham Bhajami. Even the Lord Brahma, who is present in this assembly, listening to the statements of Prahlad Maharaj, he admitted himself that Krishna cannot be understood even by the greatest scholar of the Vedic study. Atma Bhakto Govindam Adipurusham Tamam Bhajami. You can only be understood by such a soul, Atma Bhakto, who is practicing bhakti, devotional service. And we also have the statement of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhavanam Jamanam Mante Yamanam Mam Prapadyate, that even by studying the Vedas, only after studying the Vedas for many thousands of births, one may come to the conclusion that Vasudeva is the cause of all causes. So how difficult it is to understand this cause and effect. And then Prahlad Maharaj goes on here that even the Monavrata, the practice of silence, which is very, very severe. you just by practicing silence, it's very difficult to maintain your existence by not communicating, isn't it? Very difficult. You can't even bake. You're hungry, but you can't express your feeling. You want something, you're cold, but you can't say anything. So how do people, they know what you need? So by practicing silence, there is no, nothing will come to you. No revenue, you can't work, can't communicate, you can't fulfill your desire, your needs. So it's very austere practice, tapasya, monavrata. But even by doing that, Prahlad Maharaj says it is a disqualification for understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Practicing yoga, again, practicing yoga, Krishna says in the Gita, yoginam abhisarvesham, mankatin antaratmana. the greatest of all the yogis is such a person who abides upon me in devotion, one who thinks of me, one who performs devotional service by thinking of me. So we can actually bypass all these different types of yoga, trying to achieve knowledge of the Absolute by studying the Vedas, tapasya, giving in charity. We can bypass all these things just by taking prasad, associating with devotees, doing a little bit of work for the Lord, just living a very simple life by dedicating our activity, our thoughts, and our speech to glorify Krishna. And we achieve much, much more access to the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead than all these people that they practice for years. Shishirada Gokulananda ki jaya. Then we will understand the cause and effect. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. That to understand that Krishna is present in those pieces of marble, it's one needs a little bit of prema, premanjana, a little bit of prema in his eyes. That's all we need. And the prema comes from devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, all these things. Then, just like an electrician, he understands that there is electricity in the wire. Someone understands that there is a fire in the wood. Then, similarly, one understands also that the Supreme Personality of Godhead pervades in everything that surrounds us, material and spiritual. People sometimes they want to go away for a break. I was away on the Isle of Wight for a few days, 2-3 days with my family, and I was thinking, what is this holiday or a break? I was just thinking in retrospect, even a devotee that sometimes are so much engaged in devotional service, but they need a little break. But that's okay to have a break, to fizzle out the steam from the body and the mind. And but the soul needs a break from devotional service. And I was thinking, a break from what? A break from being with devotees? A break from going for Bhagavatam class every day? A break from seeing Krishna? A break from my service? It's okay to go away and sharpening the sword, you know, we say, to, for a few days and and try to regenerate. Something to do with the body. The body needs a little privacy. Time to time we need to go away and try to recharge our energy. But can we say we need a break from devotional service? Because when I went away, then I felt this urge of that the soul was wanted, I was wanting to carry on doing a little bit of service. So we were doing a little bit of books, myself, my family, and it was nice. Lord Chaitanya says, wherever you go, whoever you meet, just tell them a little something about Krishna. And it was very nice. very nice, even though the same weather that you get here, you get there, you don't get anything new. And same people that you get here, you get there. The only thing is that here, the surrounding are greens. Over there, you can see a little bit of water. The sea, which is therapeutic for the mind. But it's the same environment, the material environment. And if there is no concept of God, then it's very depressing. At every moment, at every second, you see people, they go away from their stressful situation to try to have a break, but actually they're disappointed. You can see very miserable face. I saw people, they were going on holiday on the boat, and they had a very miserable face. And then coming back, also a similar kind of situation. So at every moment, the living entities are seeking for some kind of pleasure, happiness, the pursuit of happiness, to try to find something that I don't get here. But then, unfortunately, they go somewhere but it's again the same thing. You know, there is no much. The magic is not there of the happiness. So it's all an illusion. It's a promise given by the mind. Don't worry, take me there and I'll make you happy. And the material energy also feeds the mind with all these things, with the state, travel agent, you know, makes the package very, they put a beautiful sunny picture and they put, you know, nice dishes. You see dishes, you know, you can eat nicely. Night, they show you nice beds with a window overlooking over the sea. But this is the best they can come with. But once you go there, it's nothing new. You feel that for millions and millions of years, you've been in that situation. They're the similar kind of vicissitudes that you've already lived for many, many lives, and is nothing new. It's just like a rabbit that is sticking his head out of the grass and is very thirsty and looking for a water. And the sun is strong, and he sees the mirage. The water is just about 1 mile away, so he's running after the water. But he never comes close to it. He sees the mirage of the puddle of the lake of water. But actually the water is inside the grass. He has to just put the head down. And he can realize that actually the thirst can only be they can only disappear by drinking the water which is in the grass. So similarly, the living entities, they come out of this body to stretch. Maybe I'll be happy by going to such and such place, or by doing this or that. But the happiness is within. The water that we are looking for is within. Krishna is living in our heart. And therefore, we don't have to travel far away to have a darshan, to feel that it's actually very close to us. And it's within our soul. The next thing close to the soul is the Supreme Lord. And then all the material energy is covering us. But that's, it's not really intimate. There is no intimate relationship between the soul and all this, the subtle element and also the gross element. The only intimate connection that we have is the Paramatma, Krishna. So wherever we go, if we just remember that I am a devotee of Krishna, let me chant that. That's devotional service. So we went away, we carried on having our morning program. We took the deities with us, and it was very nice. Try to experience devotional service wherever you are. Go out, do a little bit of book distribution, just a little bit, just to make a... just is like planting one or two seeds. You never know. And we met some very nice people. And it's refreshing to the soul, wherever you go, even when you go on holiday, you know, and do a little bit of service or take some books with you. Talk about Krishna. Cook for Krishna, take some prasad, and you feel that, you know, your nourishment is still very much there. And it's a very nice realization. So, devotional service, even as if it's practice, very little, very small amount, it brings so much peace and relief and happiness to the soul. There is nothing else which is substantial. Everything else is insubstantial, which is characterized by temporality. The things that we do every day, material activities, they have no... You do now today, but they're temporary. They're not really substantial. They don't bring juice to the soul. But things that we do spiritually, nabhikramanasasti pratyavayana vidyate, that even if you do little something devotional, even if you just remember Krishna without serving him, that's devotional service, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. Because the highest performance of devotional service is not even the activity itself, but it's to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. You may are somewhere, you don't have the tools for preaching. There's no people around that you could, you have no food to cook, to offer to Krishna. You have no beads to chant, but you can actually remember Krishna. And once you remember, then you can start to chant these names. That's devotional service. That's a practical activity of the soul, the mind. It's actually remembering. Then the next stage, try to not forget, no matter what happened. Sometimes I'm living within the span of a day, and I made a commitment to myself at random, three times a day. I like to remember Krishna, no matter what I am doing. Either if I'm in a bathroom doing cleaning my body, or if I'm doing a shopping, just okay, let me remember Krishna now. Has Krishna got to do with anything I'm doing around me? Of course he doesn't have anything to do, but actually he has everything to do with it. And immediately you feel that actually you're doing the best thing in your life. Even if it's a very, very important thing. I took some paintings with me, and I was doing a little bit of business with my son, to helping to make some money. And then at random, I was just thinking of Krishna, and it was nice. It was carrying me towards the transcendence, to the environment. Sometimes you go in these nursing homes, you see people, you know, at the end of their lives, dribbling, and they are perishing really, and you feel sorry. And then this is what the life is all about. And you feel a bit depressed. And then you start... I said, let me remember Krishna. Let me think of him, just for a few seconds. And immediately then you feel sorry for the people who are suffering. I wish I had some books with me to give. And which I did. You know, I went back to the car and I gave some books to the homes. And you feel good because... there is a little hope, a trace of hope for these people. And the Isle of Wight has probably never been much preaching going on there. Occasionally devotees, they go there, book distribution. I think Premanava goes there. And Rubin, have you been there before? So it's nice, you know, these are little pockets of the territories that it's nice to go and plant a few seeds. The Isle of Man is there, the Jersey, Guernsey. There's so many. I was hearing from Ravindra Swarup Prabhu that in Iceland has never been done book distribution. Devotees, they've never been there. He was a GBC for Iceland, just in name. But actually, I said, how often do you go there to preach? He said, I've been GBC there for 12 years, but I've never been invited because there is nobody there. 300,000 people in Iceland. Now, they're depending on us. It's nice to be here, you know, comfortable, you know. We want to go where there is a life, where there are people. But there are places, remote play. Probably, you know, the Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya wanted us to go everywhere and do little something. And you'll see, these books, they have the magic. It's not us doing the magic, but it's Krishna. Like in the purport, it says, he's the cause and effect. He will be the cause of deliverance for these people in the form of these books. So, it is a nice experience. This is a realization that I had, that a small, that wherever we go, even if we go on holiday, we should always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Even if he's a little something. Because, of course, here you're forced, you know, to remember Krishna. And don't forget, because you come every day, you see devotees around, you chant Hare Krishna with devotees, you phone each other, and so it's like you live in an environment that is very conducive for Krishna consciousness and devotional service, which we are very fortunate. It is a very fortunate situation. But when you go away somewhere, it's when you start to feel a little bit depressed, isn't it? Sometimes devotees, they go, they try to go on holiday, but they feel a bit depressed, and you don't know why. It's because, you know, you're forsaking, you know, your associate, you left behind, you know, the treasure of your soul, the devotees, the deities, Mahaprasad. But we don't realize because we take for granted all these things. But once you suffer, see, the realizations, they always come, they grow in the field of suffering, never in the field of enjoyment. The field of enjoyment is produce suffering. But the field of suffering for a devotee produce happiness, realization. It makes us understand what actually the soul needs. And then we can come to the, like Prahlad Maharaj, went through so much suffering, but look, there were so many realizations. He was the best bandhanam performer, the best prayers he offered to the Lord, to Lord Nrisimhadev. All born from his devotional service. Suffering, he suffered. So, this is just a few little tips that I had to offer on this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We ended the class here. Thank you very much. It's nice to be with all of you again. And if there is any questions, comment.